Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Alice G. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. This is our 10 a.m. meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 11, the second paragraph, starting with the wars which had been fought, ending with He Certainly Had Me, that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Eileen M., on the text, and Kara L. on page 164. We have Justin B. at reading our 12 steps and Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions. Our newcomer greeter is Sharon B. and Betsy H. is on announcements. And thank you all for your service. The reference number for Monday, June 20th, the 10 a.m. meeting is 19,087. That's 19087. And for today, Tuesday, June 21st, 2022, the 7 a.m. meeting is 19,090. That's 19090. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through your own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Justin B. to read the 12 steps for us, please.
Good morning. This is Justin B. from Washington. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we found and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Justin, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Thanks again, Alice, for your service today. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, Joanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 11, the second paragraph, that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Eileen M. to begin reading for us, please.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The wars which had been fought, the burnings and chicanery that religious dispute had facilitated made me sick. I honestly doubted whether on balance the religions of mankind had done any good. Judging from what I had seen in Europe and since, the power of God in human affairs was negligible. The brotherhood of man, a grim jest. If there was a devil, he seemed the boss universal, and he certainly had me. Okay, so how does this apply to my life? When I came into OA, I came from a religious upbringing, and I did not have a positive conception of God. God was someone to be afraid of. And, you know, the message I got was that God was this punishing authority figure and that God did not like me. And I really believe that. I had a firm belief in that. And so I got to program and, you know, I started thinking, you know, that really I kind of agree with this, with the view that Bill had, that the power of God was insignificant in human affairs, you know, and that it was up to me to fix my life and to fix my compulsive eating on my own, and maybe the program was going to help me somehow. And, you know, when I began to work the steps of the program, and, you know, over time, I really started to see that this higher power, you know, as I now refer to it, you know, really could and does influence my thinking, you know, if I reach out for help. And, you know, one of the things that started to change this view was my sponsor, you know, suggested to me to open my mind to the possibility that there's a power that wants to help me. That was really life-changing, actually, because, you know, I'd never really thought of that. I mean, I used to go to God whenever I was in a crisis and think that, well, maybe I'll get help, you know, this time. And, you know, just being willing to believe that, what my sponsor suggested, that was kind of a starting point. And then I began to observe other members, you know, what their story was. And, you know, there really is evidence of this power everywhere. And, you know, that was kind of where I started. And, you know, the process, you know, once I was willing to accept that, yeah, I have this power that loves me unconditionally and wants to help, that, you know, I went through the process, and it's life-changing. You know, it's really a life-changing thing to go through the steps with entire absence with someone who's recovered, you know, someone who has found the solution, and, you know, someone could help me find a higher power. And I'm very grateful. Thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you, Eileen, from New Hampshire. We will now proceed with alternate members sharing. And remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, star one to unmute. Who would like to share on this paragraph today, please?
Hi, this is Carla C. in California.
Carla C.
Roberta B.
Tom L.
Roberta B.
Tom L. in California.
Tom L.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen. All right, we'll start with that lineup. I've got Carla C., Roberta B., Tom L., and Kathleen O. If everyone else except Carla C. could mute their phones, we'll get started with Carla.
Thank you so much. I love this meeting. It's so full of love and so appreciative of everyone that does service here. Yeah, for me, my sponsor just is so encouraging. She tells me how big my God is and how much he loves me. And it's so life-changing because, you know, like the Eileen said that, you know, I grew up in a Catholic home, and God was going to punish me. He was going to send me to hell for being bad because she didn't know how to discipline me. And I'm just so grateful that the 12 steps are here and these meetings are here so that I can get the love in these rooms that I need. And I'm just so grateful. So thanks for letting me share, Carla in California.
Thank you, Carla C. in California. Roberta B., you're up next, followed by Tom L. Roberta, please let us know where you're from.
Hi, Roberta B. from Southern California. Beautiful morning today. I'm out for a hike, and this paragraph really resonated with me. I too, am so grateful for these rooms. And you guys speak my language that I've wanted to learn for so long, and I keep learning and keep growing. This paragraph in particular really resonated with me because when I first came to the rooms of recovery, my sponsor would ask me, I didn't know you were God. I didn't know you were God. When I was born, I'm one of five children. And when I was born, there was a one-year-old, a two-year-old, a four-year-old, and five-year-old. Then, so I had to find my place in life very quickly. And I love my mom dearly, very narcissistic. So I also had to learn how to take care of myself. So I just learned how to take care of myself. I didn't have the God of my understanding. I had the God that I borrowed from my parents, and he was also a punishing and judgmental God. So that's the God that I knew for the longest time. And I always searched for a different God, even at a very young age. I remember wanting more and learning more. I started with compulsive eating at a very young age. I remember my grandmother coming to visit me from Northern Maine. She was French and didn't speak any English. And at 5 years old, I wanted some Frosted Flakes with sugar on it, and she wouldn't let me put sugar on it. And I remember crying, wanting to have that sugar. I couldn't eat it without the sugar. It just wasn't edible. And I remember that so clearly. And I see my granddaughter, that's now 5 years old, has the same thing. And I get to just love her and be an example to her today. But, you know, I just learned how to be independent and trust God, and not trust God, trust myself, because nobody else would take care of me but myself. at a very young age. And today I have a big God that I have to remember to turn things over to. And one of the things I keep telling myself throughout the day is God is everything. The big book says God's either everything or he's nothing, and how it works. And I believe he is everything. And I get to repeat that to others every day, to someone else that either reaches out to me or to myself, or I just really am grateful for what I continue to learn about God. And the big book teaches me and all of you in these rooms teach me just by listening, and sometimes outreach calls, and I get to share my experience, strength, and hope, and hear others experience strength and hope, and I keep going on, and I keep growing, and I keep hearing God, and I'm so grateful for that. I was just talking with my friend that said he just doesn't hear God, and I wanted to recommend coming to different rooms. Thank you so much. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberta B. in California. Tom L., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O. Tom, can you hit star one to share with us,
okay,
please?
Okay, sorry, I was unmuted.
Thank you. That's okay. Thank
you. Good morning. Tom, Compulsive Reader in Southern California. So Bill here is trying to get out of it. He's, you know, completely destroyed, is hopeless. Ebby has miraculously evaded this doom, and now he's fighting the God thing. And well, yeah, I too am. I ate like Bill drank. I often prayed for death. I tried dieting so many times. I fell off the wagon so many times. I knew it was hopeless. I surrendered to the food just like Bill did. You know, I gained hundreds of pounds. I was a shut-in. I was living on disability. And I was an atheist. I grew up that way. A scientific atheist, just like Bill. You know, the evolutionists, the chemists, the physicists. I love these people. And they have great shows on TV that have graphics and everything. But there was one point, and I agree with Bill here, if there was a God, he was the devil and he was the boss universal. There was something demonic running my life. I had experience. I, you know, no matter what I did, something beyond myself or that I couldn't identify with myself was destroying me. Like cancer, I guess, you know, cancer is beyond myself. So I believed in the devil, if you want to say that. Now, I have recovered 11 months ago. I came out of relapse. I was homeless because I was thrown out due to behavior. I was 100 pounds overweight. I was barely hanging on to a job. The devil had me again, freaking 54 years old, moving back in with my mom. You know, the devil has a great sense of humor. And I said, okay, I'm going to do what I knew I needed to do when I first came to OA in 2000. I got on my knees and I prayed, God, help me. My life is destroyed. If I keep going on like this, I'm going to die or go insane. God, if you're there, help me. And from that day to this, I haven't had to take a compulsive bite. I've been very involved in OA. Now, is this a supernatural God? Oh, I want to argue that one. I have a great talk. Come visit, an hour long talk about supernatural or natural God. The thing is, we have wisdom that allows hopeless alcoholics, hopeless addicts to recover. We have a choice. You can follow the wisdom or not, and you can explain where that wisdom came from or not. But if I don't follow that wisdom, guess what? Boss Universal. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tom L. from California. Kathleen O., you're up next, and then I'll take another list of names. Just a reminder, we're on page 11, the second paragraph in Bill's story.
Good morning. Thank you. It's Kathleen, and recovered in California. It sounds a lot like of what Bill was relating to, with having been in wars and seeing religious disputes, using trickery to achieve possible political or financial purposes. He doubted the religions of mankind had done any good. And here is his friend telling him he has religion. God hadn't been significant in helping any sort of alliance, but just as God didn't create my misery or anyone else's, God didn't create wars either. So like me, when I came into 12-step recovery, you know, Bill was desperate and doomed when he came in as far as solving his problem of alcohol. And if God did for Evie what Evie couldn't do for himself, then maybe God could do for Bill what Bill couldn't do for himself. So we come to believe a power greater than us can restore us to sanity. And I came in with a spiritual malady. You know, I needed a spiritual solution because anything was better than food being my God. That certainly wasn't working. And we may have to let go of our religious beliefs as they may not work. You know, we have to let go of the values if they're not working. I had to let go of self-will and I had to admit complete defeat so that God could come in and do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And the steps rid us of the obsession to addictively overeat and give freedom from the torment of the thought of taking that first bite. I didn't have to understand or have knowledge. I just had to have willingness. And I had to act as if there was a God instead of acting if there wasn't and see what happened. And the results were pretty amazing, I have to say, you know. All I have is the present moment, and I just had to show up and be teachable. So, you know, this is a disease of denial. We don't have the ability to differentiate the true from the false. And I had to fully concede. I had to have no lurking notion that I was going to be any different when it came to my disease. And I had to have no reservations of any kind. So my experience with powerless in step one, it propelled me to step two, where I knew I needed a power greater than me. And that power is my understanding of God. And I'm so grateful to all of you on this line. I love all your shares, and I love being here with all of you every morning. And thank you, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen All from California. Who would like to share next? I'll take another list of names. Star one to unmute, please.
Hi, Joan R. My name is Larry G. from California.
Larry G., Joan R.,
Janice K.
Kim B.
Chris G.
Anyone else? All right, this is the lineup I've got. Larry G., Joan R., Janice K., Kim B., and Chris G. Larry, can you please hit star one to unmute and share with us, please? And anyone else who's not speaking, please mute your phone. Thank you.
My name is Larry G., and I'm from California. I have a different take on this, and I should have a different take. I'm recovered, and I have worked steps, and I do 11 steps each day, and so I should have a different take on this. Bill, at this point, is not even in the process of recovery. He is still a sick and dying drunk, and as all sick and dying drunks, as I was a sick and dying compulsive eater, he's bitter. Intolerant. He is looking to blame. And we see that Bill grows up as he writes the steps, as he gets into recovery and begins to recover. By the 11th step, he even suggests, you know, take advantage of the men and women of the cloth, the rabbi, the priest, and the minister. They have much to offer. Like Bill, I was a alcoholic in training as I was going through K through 12 in a big box religion, and I didn't make a very good member of my congregation or my church. Although I loved God, you know, I would have the icons in my room and I would pray, but I was not a good congregant, as Bill is. And how could I be, you know? When I came into OAA Visions for You in May of 2020, I was a sick and dying drunk. I was a food drunk, and I was dying, and I was bitter. I had no contact. How could I? My mind was so fogged up with sugar and flour and massive quantities. I'm talking 20,000 calories in a sitting, salty snack, meeting throughout the day. How could I have a connection with God? And I believe, it's my own personal opinion, I believe as a new person coming back from relapse or a new person coming to OA for the first time, I came back to OA as a person relapse, I need a sponsor more than I need God. My sponsor will lead me back to God by taking me through the steps. Because at that point, I've lost all connection to God. And so, you know, religion gets a bad rap as God gets a bad rap. You know, religion, in my opinion, helps me to develop my 11 steps, helps me to grow in my consciousness with God, my understanding of God. It teaches me a study of the existence of God. But we have men and women who abuse their power of authority. We know that. And so I belong to a spiritual community now that teaches a completely different metaphysical perspective of God. And I have a spiritual advisor who is a interfaith minister.
That's time, please.
We study every Friday, and it is just a wonderful part of my recovery. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Joan R., you're up next, followed by Janice K. Joan, please share with us where you're from.
Hi, this is Joan R. from Oregon. And I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I just am very touched by this paragraph. Like all of us who have shared before, I came from the religious background, and I feared God, but I also loved God. The disease of alcoholism, compulsive eating had been passed down to me, and I just really, really was really needy from the get-go, and so blessed that way. You know, now that I have been in program for at least 45 years now, and I have had many, many miracles happen. I'm so grateful for the people in my life who were examples of, like Evie, that they really were a shining light in the darkness of my congregated fears that kept me in bondage. And I have, like I said, received many miracles. And this latest one, the beginning of March, was relieved of the compulsive eating, putting down the last two alcoholic foods. And in another desperation time, and so amazed, and I did the steps again, and because I knew that there was these blocks between God and me, and was able to identify them during another fourth step, and all the way through to nine, and I must say that doing steps all the way to nine instead of quitting before I got to nine has made all the difference in my recovery. And also, like was said, that, you know, I needed a sponsor who had this peace, who was able to communicate using the steps exactly the way the big book suggests that we use it. And so I'm so grateful for them. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Joan R. from Oregon. Janice K., you're up next, followed by Kim B.
Hi, this is Janice K. from Oregon. We start where we start with whatever concept of God we are left with from our childhoods. then we have to, then we do the work, and not only do we grow up, but our concept of a higher power fills out. I began very sick, very crazy, with a concept of God that I had inherited. My dad's God was mean, judgy, and vindictive. My mom's was incompetent. There was the image of God that I wanted him to be, and the image of God that I feared was real. And we start where we start, and we grow from there. What do we do? Best advice I've heard, we start with a generic higher power, and then we start adding to or trimming away as we need. My suggestion would be just sit with God and let higher power tell you who higher power is. My journey included accepting that I had the wrong idea. There was also a period when I heard once from someone who knows that the second rule for effective prayer is don't lie to God. And don't lie to yourself either. I had to admit I was mad at God because bad things had happened to me. I had to look at those bad things. And forgiveness sometimes goes both ways. I had to forgive God for the fact he had no hands in that particular situation. I had to accept that I can only be sheltered by God's umbrella when I am under God's umbrella. My job is to find it and stay there. So God is a complex thing, and it, he, she, they, it, whatever, grows as we do. It's not so much the God of my understanding as because I can't. It's just too big. It's just the God, it has become the infinity that loves me. And, oh, it has been a journey. And I wish you the same honesty and willingness to remove the blocks and hear the voice.
Time, please.
Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. from Oregon. Kim B., you're up next, followed by Chris G., and then I'll take some more names. Kim B., star one to unmute.
Oh, I'm sorry. I knew this was going to happen. My husband just got home from work. Hold on a second. This is Kim B. from Wisconsin. Let me just get to another room. Sorry. I tried to get on sooner. Thank you for hearing me and for this meeting. I think what really hit me today was also the boss universal, the devil. If there was a devil, he seemed the boss universal, and he certainly had me. This really just brings me back to my powerlessness 13 years ago, over 13 years ago, when the food and the exercise was completely controlling me, and the body obsession of my disease. And, you know, I just felt so much relief when I came into my first meeting and reread the first step in the OA 12 and 12 and just found out that this was an illness that I couldn't control. And as I progressed and worked the steps with a sponsor and God relieved me, you know, asking God for help, I was so grateful it was a spiritual program because all my human ways were not working. Got me up to 300 pounds and lots of injuries from over-exercising. And, you know, today I don't have to be that way. And I loved what someone said earlier about not knowing the truth from the false and the falsehood from the truth or whatever. And that's still, you know, my humanness still gets in the way of all of that, whether it's the devil, whether it's the disease. And I've heard that over the years, that the disease is talking to me. The devil you know, I heard one person, an older gal in a meeting once say, devil, get thee behind me. And I thought, wow, that was just really was powerful for me to think of my unwanted intrusive thoughts that bring me down, that are not loving, that are not from my higher power. They're not based out of love. Then I know that is not of God. And boy, the devil was in my head yesterday a lot. I was just tired and fatigued. And boy, that devil just likes to get in my head and just bring me down and just tell me all the lies that are not from God, right? And so I had to really, really stay connected with God yesterday throughout my day. I didn't overeat over it, thank God. You know, I haven't had to do that for over 13 years now with the grace of this program and my higher power and staying connected. But, you know, that devil is universal. I feel like the boss. I feel he's still alive and alive in this world and in my mind that I have to keep fighting that off. And I had another speaker say, I have to fight off the judges in my head every day. So whatever you want to call them, judges, devil, the disease, negative thoughts, automatic negative thinking, whatever, it's still going to plague us. We're still human. Anytime we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, right? And I'm also dealing with grief and loss from losing my mom recently. So it's just a lot. And I'm working on that emotional sobriety that Bill W. talks about later, 30 years after his sobriety. So with that, I pass and thank you so much for this meeting.
Thank you, Kim B. from Wisconsin. Chris G., you're up next. Star one to unmute.
Hi, I'm Chris G. from Utah. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all of the shares. I really love this page and Bill's story and my experiences. I basically have a love-hate relationship with my higher power. When I give my will to my higher power and my heart to my higher power, I feel love. And when I don't, I feel hate. I fight back and forth between, you know, a real higher power and false higher powers. And it's been a lifelong battle for me. And when I was in my 20s, I started to feel angry at religious teachings about repentance because I would, you know, repent every day and apologize to God that I couldn't stop eating and nothing would happen. And I would go to organized religion and hear, you just need to repent. You just need to this, you just need to that. And I'm like, well, I'm doing that. And for me, the one thing that really helps me, because I still struggle with it, is step three, where I give my will over. And that helps me to start not just knowing there's a God, but feeling a little bit of trust. For me, step three is the trust step. And like I said, I struggle with it regularly. But then I started to, like it says in later Big Book, that I started to see where religious people were right. And I started to be able to feel the mending between religion and recovery for me. And I actually will tell people that it's my recovery since the 80s and the 12 steps and the Big Book and all the different programs that saved my membership and my organized religion. I feel really grateful for that. So grateful for all of you in this beautiful program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris G. from Utah. Who else would like to share today? Star one to unmute.
Nina F.
Joe G.
Sherry
Hannah
A.
Sean P. from California.
Okay.
Hannah B.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Hannah B. from Tennessee.
Hannah or Hannah? Was that Hannah or Hannah? I didn't hear that. Okay. Anyhow.
It's Hannah. I'm sorry. Hannah B.
Hannah. Okay. Thank you, Hannah. Okay. This is who I've got so far. Nina S., Joe G., Sherry, Sean, and Hannah. Let's go with that. And Nina S.,
please hit star one to unmute and share with us where you're from. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Nina S., compulsive overeater in Northern California. I just was on my morning walk and loved hearing all of the shares, and it reminded me of, this paragraph reminded me so much about how food makes me so hateful and so mean, and how my sponsor always says, and she said to me for a long time, just fake it till you make it. And I'm so glad that the requirement for coming into this program is not you have to believe in God, because I thought that was the requirement for being part of any religious organization, and I was totally not attracted to that at all. And I love people talking about what their gods used to be and then what they get to be now, because I can relate to that too. But my God was so human. It was my father. There was no God. It was just my dad. It was just that codependent, crazy relationship that addicts have in that totally dysfunctional, unhealthy way, that once that relationship shifted, then there got to be a different higher power. And so I was so glad that my sponsor just said, fake it till you make it, because this is a program of action. And if I had to believe in some other, and if I had to believe in anything other than the higher power that I had at the time, I don't think I would have made it. I still fake it till I make it. I still think that I feel like a fraud all the time. but if I just keep acting, what I find is that my spiritual practices, I didn't know that spiritual practices were really simple, like prayer and meditation and going for a morning walk and listening to a meeting and being of service and outreach or just listening to somebody. But I'm so grateful that there is this new way of living that doesn't have to be so perfect, because my perfectionism is one of my defects. And it's also one of my assets. It's both. I have to find the balance in that, and God helps me do that. But I love that my spirituality gets to have, it gets to be alive instead of dead. It doesn't have to be dogmatic and stagnant. Instead, it gets to be fluid and flexible. And that's how I know that God is working in my life, my higher power is present, is because I feel the expansion instead of the contraction. That contraction is what makes me mean. The contraction is what makes me impulsive and compulsive and makes me want to harm myself with food. So I'm so grateful to be here with all of you this morning. I got to check in so I don't check out. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nina S. from California. Joe G., you're up next, and hopefully we have time for Sherry as well.
Hi. Yeah, this is Joe G. from Washington State. Thanks for the opportunity to share. Yeah, great topic. Really, I was journaling about this topic just last night, so it's a cool coincidence or a God shot or whatever it is. I was also raised in a toxic religion, a religion that was toxic for me, and I took it real seriously as a child. Fifth grade was a watershed bad year for me, and I really traced my disease back to that time of my life. And, same thing as I've heard so many times in these rooms about the punishing God. And I just ended up terrified of the idea of hell, basically, and particularly with a sort of obsession with what happens at death. And that terror, which is strangely, I could almost say, is the foundation of my disease. I was again journaling about that last night, and I had this inner dialogue, there's a voice in there that says, it's no one can say what happens after death, so who's to say that it isn't true? And then I start thinking about, well, maybe that is true about hell, and then the panic and the fear comes up, and I'm just really in touch with, again, the roots of my disease, and then it just struck me, it just came to me that, well, that would also mean that God would have to be a certain type of God in order to have it be that hell was is true. And I just saw that it, deep in my heart and soul, I don't believe in that God. I do not believe in that punishing God. It's so liberating. I can't believe in that God, even if I quote-unquote want to. I mean, I certainly don't want to. And I think that's because of so many years in the program that it just has shifted my view of my higher power, a loving power greater than myself. And it even goes back to earlier childhood when I felt like I did have a real connection with a loving power. So I can, you know, refer to these, the program years. I can even refer back to being 5 years old and having a sense of connection. And I think that it all adds up to something that can trump those toxic thoughts one day at a time, as long as I stay in connection with the program and all that that means. Thanks for this meeting. Pass.
Thank you so much, Joe G. Sherry, you're up next, and I don't think we're going to have time for Sean and Hannah. Sherry, I'm going to give you just a couple minutes as well. So star one to unmute and share where you're from.
Hi, this is Sherry, H-M, Sherry with a C, from Washington State, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. You know, I think a lot of my sponsees felt they had to write a dissertation about this and the meaning of life and, you know, who is God, what is God, all that. And it's really not about that. It's about, in the next paragraph he goes on, this is really piggybacked on, it said God had done for him what he could not do for himself. So I met with a friend many, like 8 years ago in August, and she told me about her, of course, her weight loss in OA and in Vision especially. And on the way home, you know, she shared her experience, strength and hope. And my ears tingled at the weight loss part, of course. And on the way home, I did have, you know, a really close relationship with a loving, kind God that just loves me more than words can say. So on the drive home, I threw up my hands and I said, okay, God, look, I can't do this. I can't stay off the sugar and it's killing me. It's killing me. I can't. God, you're going to have to do it for me. And so that was the last time by using the steps in this program and especially Vision, that was my last, you know, kiss with sugar. And I'm just so very grateful. And other foods, you know, God revealed to me I needed to give up as time went by. So I'm so very grateful that the number one thing is, gosh, I can't do it. Number two, God can. Number three, I'm going to let him. I'm not going to write a dissertation. I'm not going to solve the meanings of life. I'm just going to let go, let God. Thanks, and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. Sean and Hannah, I'm sorry. I hope you can tune in tomorrow and share with us. And we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.